We can either settle for a country where a shrinking number of people do really well, while a growing number of Americans barely get by. Or we can restore an economy where everyone gets a fair shot, and everyone does their fair share, and everyone plays by the same set of rules.
President Obama focused largely on the economy and jobs and what he calls shared sacrifice during his fourth State of the Union address last night. And we also saw a template for his reelection strategy. The president spoke of bridging the growing wealth gap in America by increased taxes on the wealthy.
Now, you can call this class warfare all you want, but asking a billionaire to pay at least as much as his secretary in taxes? Most Americans would call that common sense.
President Obama talking about what's widely known as the Buffett rule there. He also made the case that the economy has improved since he took office in the midst of financial meltdown.
In the 6 months before I took office, we lost nearly 4 million jobs. And we lost another 4 million before our policies were in full effect. Those are the facts. But so are these. In the last 22 months, businesses have created more than 3 million jobs.
And the president ended his speech by recounting the assault last year that finally, after 10 years, killed Osama bin Laden. He called on the country to emulate the unity of Navy SEALs that took out Osama bin Laden in the raid.
Those of us who've been sent here to serve can learn a thing or two from the service of our troops. When you put on that uniform, it doesn't matter if you're black or white, Asian, Latino, Native American, conservative, liberal, rich, poor, gay, straight. When you're marching into battle, you look out for the person next to you, or the mission fails.
Joining us now to talk about the president's address is Michael Waldman, the executive director of the Brennan Center for Justice. Michael is a former chief speechwriter for President Clinton and is the author of My Fellow Americans, The Most Important Speeches of American Presidents from George Washington to Barack Obama. Michael, good morning.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
Good to have you. The president framing congressional action or inaction by saying we should be more like the Navy SEALs who took out Osama bin Laden. Anybody who watches Congress watches that and says, Congress acting like a crack military unit? Come on.
Let's just assume that was a metaphor. I don't think we would actually want Congress to act that way. But I think that the broader point, which is that we're proud of those men in uniform. We see there a sense of public purpose that seems very frequently lacking from Congress. I think the broader point is right. Obviously, I don't think as a matter of democratic theory one would want that in a legislature. But I think no. Point taken.
No, but the president was speaking to, you know, commonality of purpose and cooperation and getting the job done. So there's context of the speech and there was subtext. What did you hear that was unsaid coming from the president? A defense of a vulnerable record, lambasting of a do-nothing Congress, class warfare? What did you hear under the words?
Well, of course, it was a speech delivered not just to the Congress and even to the country, but in the middle of the campaign. And a lot of the speech that was interesting was, in effect, counterpunching, laying out some of the responses that he'll be making over the course of the year. So when he says that talking about tax fairness is not envy, of course, that's not a word that was lightly chosen. That's what Mitt Romney said tax fairness and concerns about income inequality was driven by. And it was interesting to see those kinds of markers laid throughout the speech. I think that it's true that on the one hand you heard a real message of fairness, of wanting to have continued opportunity for people who work hard. I did not hear a broad agenda for the next 4 years. I think that it's a challenge when you're a president facing a Congress that is paralyzed. He couldn't really come forward with a big plan that had so little chance of passage that it was plainly never going to happen. On the other hand, I think that what we heard was a strong fighting State of the Union, and I think we're going to hear, as the campaign unfolds, some of the broader argumentation about the direction of the country, some of the broader argumentation about what has happened to the middle class. in speeches like the one we heard in Kansas a few weeks ago, and maybe going forward to the political conventions.
And what about a defense of the president's vulnerabilities? Most of the country believes the country is on the wrong track. Most people blame the sitting president for a faltering economy. Unemployment is still high. The president can be an optimist, but he has to defend a record that most people think is poor. Did you hear him do that in a way that was effective in front of Congress, but more importantly, in front of people?
Well, you know, a lot of times these speeches have a lengthy laundry list of statistics of how great this is going and how great that is going. And you did hear his argument, in effect, saying, look, I came here, we were hurtling into another Great Depression, we stopped that from happening. You didn't hear a lot of braggadocio about the economic record, and it was an interesting and possibly very wise choice. Elections are not really retrospective as much as they can very frequently be, what are we going to do next? And the other interesting defense of his record that I think you did hear was starting with foreign policy, starting with military success. He plainly feels he has a very proud record there, between the troops coming out of Iraq, killing Osama bin Laden, and the end of the Gaddafi regime, and all those kinds of things, which wouldn't normally be what you would start a State of the Union with, as opposed to the "we're doing great" mantra that people, you know, tend to trot out at these moments.
The State of the Union.
So
I think
there was interesting political choice there too.
The State of the Union is strong, and the president actually bookending the speech with national security and foreign policy at the beginning and at the end. Just quickly, Michael Waldman, before we let you go, body language and optics as you were watching the speech. What did you see in the president? What did you see in John Boehner sitting behind him? Strong,
the president,
John Boehner, obstinate.
Yeah, the president looked strong. He looked confident. Boehner looked, disgruntled.
All right. Well, Michael Waldman, you're a Democrat. We'll give you that. You're former Clinton speechwriter and executive director of the Brennan Center for Justice. Michael Waldman joining us to parse the president's words and his election strategy for 2012. Michael, thank you.
My pleasure.
Now let's check in on some other top stories we're following at 15 minutes past the hour. eBay this morning has banned the sale of tickets on its site for a memorial service to honor football coach Joe Paterno. A service for the Hall of Famer is scheduled for Thursday, and Penn State University had issued tickets for a memorial to Joe for free. But some of those have wound up on eBay, attracting bids of more than $60,000. A private funeral is expected to take place later today. Paterno died on Sunday at the age of 85. The Federal Reserve unveils a plan today to be a little less secretive. The Fed is giving the public the first ever view of where its officials see interest rates heading in the coming months and years. Economists say the move will give investors a better glimpse into the thinking of bankers. 10-year protection is becoming a thing of the past in our nation's schools. According to an analysis provided by the National Council on Teacher Quality, out today, more states are seeking flexibility to fire teachers who aren't performing. Government and business leaders are gathering at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland today. The future of capitalism and global impact of the Eurozone crisis are both at the top of the agenda. And Syria has agreed to extend the Arab monitoring scheme by another month. Britain, France, and Germany are preparing a UN resolution condemning Syria for its violent suppression of protest. You're listening to The Takeaway, where you can always reach us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. President Obama gave his State of the Union address last night, and this morning we want to hear from you. What is your State of the Union? Tell us where you stand and where you're going in this 2012, this election 2012. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or join the conversation on Twitter. Use hashtag at TTChat. Coming up, reactions to President Obama's State of the Union address from a Republican strategist and a liberal blogger. They go head-to-head with me. That's up next.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.